Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Diamond Discussion Podcast alongside my co-host Joe Stumpo. I'm Mike Caliendo. Now, yes, before we get into the Subway Series stuff, we have to remember that we had Phil as a guest and a somewhat of a crossover episode, if you guys got to that so far or not. And something that we're going to do when we have a guest on our show or a crossover episode, whatever you want to call it, we're going to let our guest give out the trivia question for the episode. So we given it to Phil. It was honestly a great question. But Joe, why don't you remind everybody what the question was, and then let's get into the answer.
So what's up, everybody? Yeah, so I just want to shout out to Uncle Phil. Thank you for, you know, doing that little crossover episode. And he really did drop a great question. So the question was, other than Whitey Ford, who holds the record for the most wins as a Yankee, which is 236? What other Yankee has over 200 wins? So there's actually two parts to this answer. One of them is Red Ruffing with 231, and the other is good old Andy Pettit at 219. So the only one that I couldn't think of was Red Ruffing. I got Andy Pettit, obviously, because that just was somebody that I knew had that amount of wins, even with him going to Houston. The Red Ruffing just, I guess it wasn't my era. So I stumbled along that one. It took me a little bit. So when I Googled it, I was like, oh, that's why I didn't get it, because I wasn't even close to being alive. So
Andy Pettit was instant for me. I think when we both heard the question, we both kind of looked at each other like, we got it, but there's a twist. Red Ruffing has probably one of the coolest baseball names I've ever heard.
Yes.
I'll be honest with you. I only learned who he was like maybe 6 months ago. Like, I've been living and breathing this sport my entire life, and I'm still learning about new stuff.
Yeah. And the funny part is I've obviously heard of Red Ruffing just from, you know, being a Yankee fan, but I've never, you know, did the deep dive into his entire career. So that's probably something that I'll do now, knowing that he was one of the top guys when it came to having over 200 wins as a Yankee. So
it would be really funny if the Yankees signed a guy named Blue Softing, and then he decided to, you know, get more wins than Red Ruffing. I think that'd be pretty good.
This is
I'm sorry to just come out with that. That just hit me, so I figured I'd share.
Red Ruffing actually sounds like a bar or something like that.
Yeah. Honestly, I wouldn't mind maybe going to have a drink there, because we got a lot of stuff that we need to unpack that is going to make me want to drink. Jesus. So, Joe, all right, look, I'm going to pass it to you. Listen, I'm sure you guys all know by now. I don't know how you don't. If you're listening to us, you know what happened over the weekend. Subway Series came and went. Very interesting. Fun. A little more fun for Joe, not so much myself. But you guys got a big series win. You guys took 2 out of 3 overall, so go ahead, Joe. Let's talk about the winning team on the first half of the Subway Series.
Yeah, so listen, it was a great series. It was a very well-pitched series, I have to say, on both ends. It came down to a little bit of defense. It came down to some, gritty baseball. What's going on with Pete Alonso? He can't throw a ball to the pitcher, and he can't throw a ball home. You know what the crazy part is? I thought his glove was going to be a bigger issue. He's not having a problem fielding the ball, it seems to be throwing the ball. But listen, I know Griffin Canning in the second game of that series, he didn't get through 5, but he still only gave up 2 runs. It was a tight game. The Yankees could have took that game too. They didn't. Could have been a sweep. We could be talking about a potential sweep that they could have had. But listen, I'll take 2 out of 3 any day from any team, any series. That's what you want to do. A good teams win 2 out of 3 most of the time. So that's what happened. Devin Williams, he looked pretty good this weekend too. I actually picked Cody Bellinger to have the big series, and boy, did he have a big series. I mean, the Grand Slam Sunday night, he has up to a 14-game hitting streak right now, so we got to hit in every game of the series. He looked really good. The Yankees played great defense overall. Their bullpen really answered the call, and they held a good hitting team to a few runs per game. I can't get mad at anything that happened in this series. The only thing that the Yankees have to fix is their extra inning play. They're not too good. They're 5-10 in extra innings. And they also have losing record in 1-run games. So that we need to fix. It seems to me that they're giving up a lot of these games late it's not like it's the fifth or sixth inning. It's the seventh or eighth, and we don't get really a good enough chance to come back. So we need to shore that up. So this weekend, they did that. They had a lead. They kept it. Like I said, the middle game of the series, it didn't work out, but that's okay. Obviously, the big thing is Juan Soto going 1-for-10. And Pete Alonso, too, being, you know, he was held down. Mark Vientos was held down. All the big Met names didn't come through this weekend due to some good pitching. That made me feel good. Max Fried was good on Sunday. David Peterson was just as good. Very gritty start. When his fastball is on, he's a hell of a pitcher. I think he deserves to be pushed up in that rotation. That's just me. I could see him being a legitimate three in that rotation, honestly, maybe if you take some guys out. But honestly, I was very happy. I was very happy overall. Everybody looked good. I can't complain. You know, obviously, a lot of this got overshadowed by some other garbage that we'll get into later. But like I said, we took 2 out of 3, and, you know, we're in first place. I can't be more than happy than what happened. We beat another first-place team, so that made me feel good as well. So I know some of your takeaways are going to be a little bit different. You know, you saw a lot of different things. I saw a lot of different things. One thing I will say, the Yankees were very patient this weekend.
Yeah.
They took a lot of pitches. They walked. Vivas had probably the best at bat out of any Yankee player in the three-game set that I happen to be in attendance for. Ryan Stanek was throwing 100 miles an hour every pitch. He brought the heat on every pitch, and Vivas was just fighting for his life and was able to put one in play, and Alonso threw it away. So my whole thing is that sometimes you don't always have to get the sexy hit. It doesn't have to be a base hit. You could just put it in play and force the team to make a play, and sometimes it'll work in your favor. I know that's a hard way of thinking. It's a hard way of playing. But I was always taught if you put the ball in play, you're forcing a defender to make a play. So if they mess up, it's perfectly cool. So that's what happened. I know it's not the sexy way to win, like I said, but a win is a win in the ball in the you know, in the scorecard. It's going to come down as a win. So I'm happy. I know you're not too happy. I know they lost again tonight. They're not looking too great, but the Yankees weren't looking too great 2 weeks either, 2 weeks ago. So Eric, there's a lot of ebbs and flows to the season. So I mean, What did you take away from the three-game set? I know it wasn't the best, but it also wasn't the worst.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, look, the pitching did look good to an extent. Ryan Stanek, yeah, with that Vivas at-bat, that drove me crazy for the fact, like, dude, throw something else. Please throw something else.
He threw one split of that whole at-bat.
Yeah, and I think it was like a 12-pitch at-bat.
It was the 1-2 pitch. He finally threw something in the dirt. Vivas laid off. And I thought on the 3-2, he was going to throw him another one just to keep him off balance, and he didn't. And
That's a good point. That's all I kept saying. I was like, throw the splitter. Please throw the splitter. I don't even care. Not that I didn't care if he walked him or not, but, I mean, just throw the splitter. He's getting a piece of your fastball. He ended up, you know, doing what exactly you essentially want him to do, beat the ball right into the ground or right to the first baseman who – that would have been a very close play. I don't know.
He was out.
You think so? Yeah.
I was sitting behind home plate. He was out. And Dominguez had a good jump. I'm not going to say no, but on the money throw, he's probably tagged out at home.
Yeah. I mean, you know what's funny?
The infield was in on that play.
They were doing what they were supposed to. You know what? I think there was a couple of instances. There was that play. I forget which game it was. It might have been game one. Correct me if I'm wrong. But there was a ball hit over Dominguez's head that he kind of misplayed, and then Bellinger just happened to be at the right place at the right time.
That was
ball
the second
fell right to him, and then I think they threw out Nimmo in that. Yeah, that was just unfortunate. You know, that could have shifted momentum a little bit. Like you had mentioned, the pitching on the Mets side was good. Peterson, I totally agree with what you're saying. He should be potentially pushed up, but you know what? I'm glad where he is. You know what? Because he matched up with Fried. And outside of a Vientos throwing error in the first inning, you know, Fried and Peterson could have been coming out of that game with Peterson in line for the win, aside from it being tied. You know, so just a couple of unfortunate things. But the big boys are not hitting with runners in scoring position. The boys, the bats are slumping right now. Unfortunately, this is what comes with a long season. And obviously, as a Met fan, you don't want a slump or a bad, you know, rough patch to be in the middle of a Subway Series because you want that bragging rights for the week and blah 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 until we play each other again in July. You know, so it's unfortunate how it goes, but this is just to show you that it's a long season. You know, Bellinger has completely turned it around. He looked like he was lost at the beginning of the season. And again, it's a long year. Things change up and down, up and down. What I did notice also, honestly, I was fairly impressed with how Mets pitching staff somewhat kind of kept Judge at bay. He had a couple strikeouts throughout the series. I know game two, I think he went over 5 or 3 Ks. Mm-hmm. That's always huge. It seems when Judge doesn't hit in a game, the Yankees end up losing. So that seems to be the key to everything. Just get Judge out. I thought they did a decent job. They pitched around him a little bit. But in certain scenarios, you know what? You're gonna do that. You know what, Bellinger? You beat us, not Judge. We know what he's capable of. So, and, you know, they were strong. They were, but... You know, for a struggling Mets team to keep most of these games close up until the end, for the most part, you know, it is what it is. It's unfortunate. I would love to be on your side of things where it's like, yeah, we got bragging rights for a couple days and then we're all going to go back to reality and forget all this happened. Like me right now, because the Mets are clearly showing they're in a rough patch because they just lost the first two games to the Red Sox. And now Yankee fans are like, hey, we wanted your help to beat the Red Sox. No.
Listen, as long as the Yankees win games, it doesn't matter if the Red Sox are winning. You can't pick up any ground. You can't pick up any ground when the other team is winning. So as long as we're winning, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
That's fair. I mean, listen, my thing going forward outside of leaving the Subway Series, and again, you had mentioned there was – you know, a lot of craziness going on. I mean, Yankee fans just could not handle the fact that Clay Holmes is a Met. You know, so I mean, it's crazy. So
we thank you for taking him.
But you know, like I said, the boys got a hit. The boys got a hit in big spots, and it just didn't happen. It didn't work out. And again, you know, this is how it goes. There's up and downs. There's winning and losing streaks. This is the way it is. This is a long season. No team is going undefeated. It's never going to happen. And no team is going to be perfect all year round. You know, guys are going to go through these little slumps and rough patches. And when they break out of them, they break out of them. And then it's like it almost like it never happened. You know, so that's at least where I'm at right now.
For me, I got to give a shout out to Matt Blake. What he's done with this pitching staff, with the type of people that he's been thrown at. Cookie Carrasco for 6 starts. Ryan Yarbrough came out of left field, literally. Will Warren, who tonight was nothing short of fantastic. He pitched 5 2/3 tonight, no runs, 10 Ks, one walk. He was literally lights out. If he is going to pitch like that, I don't see how Boston even comes close to making any ground in this division. Once we get Luis Hill back, it's going to be tough for Boston. I don't think they have enough pitching. Their offense is okay. I just don't think they have enough pitching to, and their bullpen is not good either. Mm-hmm. I don't see how they even make a dent in this division. If the Yankees are going to pitch like that, watch out. That's all I could say, because their offense isn't the problem. And their bullpen is obviously doing well as well. Mark Leiter Jr. had a good outing tonight, inning in a third, no runs. Devin Williams came in the eighth, no runs. He looks like he's kind of settling in into that eighth inning spot. I got to give him a shout out. No Cole, no Hill. I mean, literally scraping the bottom of the barrel when it came to, you know, filling out the rotation. Rodon's been fantastic. We already know what Fried is doing. I'm really happy. The one thing I think Aaron Boone needs to do is just be careful with that lineup. Volpe should not be hitting fifth. Anthony Volpe should not be hitting fifth. He should be hitting eighth. If you want to move up a guy, it's Dominguez. Dominguez has a fantastic eye. Mm-hmm. He could work a count. I've seen him work. He's down 0-2, and all of a sudden you blink, and it's a 3-2 count. The kid, if there's one thing he's good at, it's literally balls and strikes. He has a good eye. He can get on base with a walk. He has phenomenal speed. He needs to be in the top five of the lineup. And I think Volpe needs to get dropped down a little bit. That's just my opinion. Other than that, I got to give Boone credit. I mean, there's a lot. there was a lot of skepticism when it came to the offense. How are we going to score runs? Who's it going to be besides Judge? What happens if Bellinger's struggling? Jazz strikes out a lot. What happens if he goes into a rut? Now he's completely out of the lineup. He was in a rut, is now out of the lineup, and they're still producing. I mean, look at these numbers, just to go over some of these numbers. On-base percentage, first. Slugging percentage, second. Average, third. Home runs, second. ERA, eighth. Batting average against, 200. Whip, fifth. And runs scored, third. They're top 10 in every category. Yeah. They're actually almost top five in every category. I cannot be mad at the way this team is playing. No, I will not.
Two weeks ago,
they looked like they were. It was a win. It was a loss. It was a win. It was a loss. It looked like they can't get any momentum. I'm not going to complain right now. I'm not going to sit and be rage baity and be click baity and say, "Oh, they need to do this." Fire Boone. There was people saying fire Boone. I said, "Do we actually understand what we're saying here?" I mean, yeah, I know there's been a lot of criticism of Boone, but he's got a team that's decimated by injury, playing Pablo Reyes at points. And they're in first place by five games. Give the guy some credit. What credit is due. I know he's coming off a World Series loss. It was the worst postseason performance of any team that I've seen in a while. But give the guy credit. He's been dealt some bad cards. And the players that they've lost, let's not even get into losing Soto. They lost Canley. They lost a bunch of guys in the bullpen. They lose Cole for the year. They lose Hill for a third of the season so far. And they're 28-19. I mean, guys, Yankee fans, we're good. We're okay. We're okay right now.
Yeah, no, listen, you guys have been definitely impressive. You know, you and I had spoke about it before the season started. You know, I had joked with you a little bit about your offense. That was definitely a concern for me. Like, you're
right.
You know, coming at me with the Mets
was the pitching. Yeah. And we both made fun of each other. It was like a hold my beer type of moment.
Yeah. You know, and now look at us now. You know, your pitching staff looks good. Our pitching staff looks good. Our offense right now is not looking great over the last few games, five, six games, whatever it's been. The runners in scoring position thing for me has been obviously concerning. But, you know, overall, like I said, with the Yankees, their offense, everything is clicking. Oldie is hitting phenomenally. He's not really going for power. He's just getting on base when he has to. He's giving you those gritty veteran professional at bats. That's exactly what you guys needed. That was the perfect equation to what you guys needed in that lineup. Obviously, given, you know, the fact that half the time last season, I've made this joke before, but I'll do it again for some of you newbies out there. I mean, there were games where you guys literally had a glove and a hat playing first base, or at least that's what it appeared to be.
Yeah, and, the last 2 years, yeah, it's been horrible. Yeah.
You know, so you needed something, and the fact that Oldie has overachieved so far has been great. Bellinger started off the season struggling a bit. Now he seems like he's turning it around. Aaron Judge is doing 14-game
hitting streak. So
yeah, and again, things like that are somewhat not really being talked about as much. But I guess that's where we come in. You know, we'll break all this stuff down and give you some of the stuff that, you know, not everybody's like thinking about and looking at. You know, it's easy to point at Aaron Judge and be like, yeah, he's hitting 400. He's knocking the cover off the ball. Yeah, Max Fried is, you know, looking like a Cy Young guy. But all those other little things, like you said, even with Dominguez, he does give you a very good professional at bats. His eye is crazy. He does. He gives them to you whether he's an out or a hit or a walk. He gives you good at bats. Ben Rice has been great for you guys. I know he's somewhat cooled off. He's coming back down to reality. And we'll see how that, you know, now he's leveling off. We'll see where he goes from here. Now this is what I wanted to see. You know, we were on a show where our good buddy Hector on Yankees Morning Brew, and we spoke about Ben Rice, and that was my thing. I wanted to see what was going to happen when maybe he starts to get figured out a little more and comes back down to earth. You know, how is he going to respond and make his adjustments? So now's the time for Mr. Rice over there.
He homered tonight. He hit a
home
off of Corbin. So
yeah, he did. Which is a
lefty. So I like to see the lefty power. That was good. So yeah, he's hitting 255. I think that's where he's going to be. He's a 250, 260 hitter. I don't see him hitting like 320 like he was a couple of weeks ago to start the year. I think he's a 250, 260 hitter. But if he's going to have the pop, I didn't expect him to have 10 home runs in the middle of May. If that was one guy that you said he's going to have 10 home runs and 22 RBIs and hit 260, I'm like, you're crazy. But
That he's was got the one guy you and me would have said in the offseason he wouldn't have sniffed the starting lineup.
No, no, absolutely not. I would have never guessed that he'd be this integral to our offense, honestly.
It's, you know, listen, baseball's a funny sport sometimes. It really is.
Absolutely.
But, you know, these guys, you guys are gritty right now. You guys are handling business, doing what you have to do. I love what you brought up with the one-run game thing. That was obviously, you know, how we stole that win. I know it was only on a sack fly, so it's really not impressive. You know, it doesn't matter. Whatever. that was one of the takes I saw over the weekend.
But that's how most teams are going to win with this ghost runner on second base.
No, it was in the ninth inning. No ghost runner.
No, it was the tenth. Sure? Oh no, it wasn't the ninth.
Yeah, ninth inning. I'm like 99.9% sure.
Oh, okay.
I'll look it up, but. You know, I mean, that's how you win games. One run ball games are, you know, they're important. They are important. For you guys, if that's your only blip right now, I mean, yeah, dude, if I'm you, I'm going to take that. I'm absolutely going to take that. So.
Yeah, you're right. It was the ninth inning. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Other than that, you know, like I said, the Subway Series for me was a little disappointing. I expected a little more. I wanted to see a little more fire. Obviously, as we all know, Juan Soto went 1-for-10. He walked a couple times, stole a couple bases. So, you know, he did what he could. I'll be honest, as far as Soto went with the way he was pitched, especially with Rodon, it didn't seem like Rodon didn't want to give him anything to hit. You know, I don't necessarily blame him because right behind him right now, Alonso's been slumping within the last 2 weeks. He was hitting 350. He is now down to about the 300 mark. I'm pretty sure he's broken underneath that at this point. So, you know, he's starting to also settle in and you know, but hopefully he'll pick it up and, you know, maybe this hot start isn't going to go to waste. You know, that's, you know, starting to frustrate me. Vientos, he's been obviously atrocious to start the season. He had then turned it around and then sort of went cold and back and up and down. So Vientos, I think he's going to settle in for the better. I think we're right around there. Soto, I'm not going to the point where it's like I'm concerned or worried. It's just getting a little harder to continue to defend him in certain scenarios.
That at bat against Fried was not good. He didn't look good at all. I haven't seen a Soto at bat where he looked like he thought he was going to hit by a pitch and the pitch horizontally broke like 23 inches over the heart of the plate. And he's not that guy that throws that shoulder out, you know, like, oh my God, is that going to hit me? And he just looks like he's a little bit lost. I can't lie.
Yeah. I think he's got an immense amount of pressure on him. You know, not to bring this up and then bring it up again, but we will kind of deep dive into a bunch of Soto stuff towards the end of this episode. Any other final thoughts on the Subway Series?
Honestly, it was exactly how I expected it to be. I thought it was going to be a well-pitched series. I was happy that the Yankees were able to go toe-to-toe pitching-wise. Like I said, they just got to be a little bit more defensively, you know, aware of what's going on. They were. They cleaned up a lot of things. I thought they looked good. That's the type of series in a three-game set that I want them to play. That's how I want them to play. They were great defensively. They didn't lose games because of it. They didn't put themselves in bad positions because of bad defense. They pitched when they had to, and that was basically it. I mean, everything I expected had actually happened, and I was just happy, you know, obviously that we got the two out of three. That's basically – and on to the next series. I'm done thinking about it. We're not done yet. Well, we're not done, but as far as the series is done, it's done, and like I said, it was blanketed by – it was blanketed by nonsense, and we'll get into it.
Yeah. First, I got to say, guys, you know the spiel. You know the deal. You know what I'm going to say. In the comments section of the podcast itself or on the post that we will have up on Instagram or Twitter, leave us your thoughts on the Subway Series. Met fans, Yankee fans, happy, disappointed. Even for Yankee fans, were there things that you saw that you still want to change, you're frustrated with, whatever it might be? Met fans, obviously. We have a bit more to be frustrated about, given the lack of offense and the way the guys are not really hitting right now. But I will say this. The Mets are clearly struggling. They're going through it right now. But I felt like that, like I said, I felt like they were in all of these games. They were with these games were within striking distance. And it's the fact that they are struggling right now that they maybe couldn't get it done. So, you know, maybe if they're playing normal and are a hot streak, the series could be completely different. But, you know, this is the way it goes. Like that play, like I mentioned before, with Dominguez, we misplayed the ball, and Bellinger was just in the right place at the right time. It happens that way sometimes. You know, it is what it is. You know, I'm not trying to make excuses or anything, but it's reality of baseball. Everybody knows. Everybody's been watching this game for a long time, whether we played it or not. You know how it goes. Sometimes the bounces just don't go your way. Sometimes, you know, it is what it is. Like you had mentioned, we have some things to get into regarding Mr. Soto. Now, I'm at the point where I'm ready to lose it because just the way the media has completely spun all of this is honestly so asinine to me, if I'm being honest. And you got guys like Michael Kay who are coming out and saying that Soto wanted to be a Yankee, but his family persuade him to be a Met because that's where they wanted him to be. I mean, where are you getting that from? Like, right. did you go over for Sunday dinner, Saturday dinner? Like, where are you getting that from? Bob Clappish has come out. I mean, he's been trashing the Mets and coming out with bogus reports for, I don't know, ever since Bobby Bonilla slapped them around in the clubhouse in the 90s. So, I mean, he has this disdain for the Mets, and that's been a thing forever. So, I mean, let's be real here. Some of these stories that are coming out are somehow conveniently connected to people who are openly rooting for the Yankees, Michael Kay, Bob Clappish, all that. He came out with something that higher-ups within the Mets organization are becoming frustrated with Soto's lack of enthusiasm. Or, I mean, where is this coming from? I feel like Bob Clappish like releases something that people read like once every 5 years, and this just happens to be the one. It's just – are we kidding? Are we
and
kidding?
Then you got Carl Ravitch.
Oh my God!
Like, where did he? So I don't know if anybody was privy to this, but Carl Ravitch reported that Soto boarded a private jet with his family that had no Met brass on it and not a single Met player. Now, he reports that on Sunday night, right? He reports mm-hmm. Sunday night saying that he boarded a plane to Boston with nobody on it but his family. Okay, fine. That's what you're going to report? No problem. Gio and Boomer on WFAN report the same thing. As if it was true. Now, a couple hours later, Jeff Passan, who when Jeff Passan speaks, I listen. Because
thank
that's
the Lord for Jeff
Passan. That is the only guy I trust when it comes to actual baseball information, said that was not true. That he didn't board a plane that was private. He didn't board a plane with his family. He boarded the team plane. What is with the lying? I don't understand.
If these things
were true, great. But they're actually being uncovered to be lies.
Yeah.
What are we getting out of it? That's what I don't understand. What are we getting out of it? Because you know what? This is now turning into a Yankee fan thing. As if Yankee fans are making this up. We're not making this up. We're sitting back and we're watching TV just like Met fans, and this is being spewed to us.
Mm-hmm. It's creating a lot. Even to go back a little further, I think we might have mentioned in the past podcast, Lindor hit a walk-off, and
the thing that
went around that he wasn't on the field celebrating. And I had people actually text me, call me in person. Like, could you believe, like, what do you think of that? It's not true. That's what I think of it. What do you mean it's not true? All right, I'll send you the video. I'll pull up the video. Here you go. What number is that? Is that 22? Is that 53? Who is that?
And then they compared a home run shot of him in April. I remember the game that he homered, that game against Tampa. I think it was a walk-off.
Okay.
So the walk-off, you're going to show tons of emotion. You just hit a walk-off home run. The Met home run was against the Marlins. It wasn't a walk-off. It was a regular home run. He trotted the bases as if it was a... So, yeah, the emotion is different there. A walk-off home run means you won the game on a home run.
Right.
You're gonna be jubilated.
Yeah.
You hit a home run in the sixth inning of a game that you're potentially winning already. Are you gonna show that much emotion?
No.
No.
I'm sorry you're not.
Maybe inside the dugout, once you get in the dugout, you do your little dances, you do your little handshakes. But after that, it's business as usual. A walk-off home run is a big thing. You can't compare a walk-off home run in April to what he does the year later with a different team. That makes no sense to me.
This is honestly just getting so ridiculous. And I'm so disgusted with these disingenuous posts and reporting and anything. So let's just, for the sake of the argument, let's say his family was in the vicinity and they were seen getting on a plane and Soto joined them. Maybe he walked with them on the plane to say goodbye to his family, whatever it was.
He didn't even do that. There is no private plane.
Right.
There is no plane.
I'll even
that's even better.
That, say that was even a thing. But this was a complete made up. This is like A Few Good Men when they just made a flight disappear. Well, New York sports guys are making flights appear and as if this is a thing. I mean, I don't understand what happened to media now. Why is everything just a clickbait? Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to come up with these ridiculous stories that are not true just for clickbait? Like, you really, like, it's crazy because I'm sitting here, you and I are sitting here, we're coming up with new and different ways to make our show better. And we have our frustrations with what we're doing, you know, and we see our viewership. And you and I, we struggle to get our views, but we're working our asses off to get everything right and get everything correct. And you have these guys that are in these prime positions that people look at their words as like gospel. Carl Ravish said this. Buster Olney said this. And you're spewing nonsense. For what?
BT today.
Another one.
This contract is a bad contract. It's 3 months into it's 15 month years, brother.
Two of year. Oh, my God.
It's month three of 15 years. What are we now? I will say in August, if he's hitting 250 with 13 home runs and 50 RBIs, yeah, we can start talking about how year one is a complete wash. Let's get there though.
Okay,
let's get there.
Right, like it was for Lindor when he first got here.
Let's get there first.
Carlos Beltran when he first got here. Carlos Beltran was practically almost booed out of town in his first season. I believe he hit like 16 home runs in year one. Followed up the next year with 41 to tie the Mets all-time record for a single season at the time. And Lindor was atrocious his first year here. He did not look like the Lindor that we had traded for.
Right.
Look at him now. Came second in MVP last year to the freak of nature, Shohei Ohtani, who could do anything.
And not for nothing, he's probably the best player on your team right now.
I mean, what this guy's about to be named captain at some point. Lindor will be the next captain. First Puerto Rican captain in Mets history.
And let me tell you,
his first season, he did not look good.
And let me tell you something about the media. You had mentioned a good point about how they got clickbaity and ragebaity. That was a setup for Yankee fans. I'm 100% convinced. Because with those new reports that were being put out, these idiot fans were running with that information as if it was true.
Yeah.
And I will say this. In their defense, you have some big names reporting this information that you could say that guy's a credible source.
Right.
Like I said, Carl Ravitch works for ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. He's not some guy that they just picked up off the corner that wrote a couple of articles and got a job. He's been doing this since I'm a child.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been seeing him all over the place since I'm a kid. Same thing. Buster Olney, another one.
WFAN, they're reporting it as true.
I just don't. Where has this gone? Where has this gone? That you and I do everything right to try to be as truthful and honest as possible. We try to eliminate our bias and actually just report on what we see and do it the right way, do it whatever. And we're essentially competing with guys that are spewing nonsense and saying all of this, the contract is a waste, just so you can get comments. Because let's be honest here. If you read the comment section of these posts, because I never like them or comment them, I read through them. It's all ripping these guys to shreds because of their bogus, asinine statements.
But
so
guess what?
Is it the networks that are making them do this?
Maybe. Or it's like what you said, that they know that if they get to that level, the amount of comments that they're going to get, hate, agreeing. It doesn't matter what. They like it. They want it, and it drives ratings. So
these people, these media people have come out and Yankee fans all, this is where I want kind of everybody to kind of get together and you know, like, let's be away with this. Everyone called Soto a sellout for taking the money like every other player has done. Not just Soto, not just with the Mets.
He was
not
getting the money from whatever team.
Every other player has done. But I'll tell you this. These guys that are reporting baseball, they're the sellouts. Because they're allowing to just say nonsense just so it'll generate money. It'll generate clicks. It'll generate this. Listen, fine. Congratulations. You're making your money. But honestly, in my opinion, your integrity as a sports reporter or podcaster or whatever is shot. So I guess you don't have any of that and don't want any of that because all you care about is clicks. Again, I mentioned Buston only. I haven't even gotten to his quote yet because this one really just drove me through a wall. If I were a friend of Juan Soto, I would tell him to make peace with the deal that you made. What are we talking about? In what shape or form has Juan Soto even indicated that he does not want to be a Met? I'm genuinely curious now.
And who can't make peace with $765 million?
I think I'd make peace with that. If you guys can make peace with spewing nonsense and getting paid for it, I think he's going to make peace with hitting 250 right now for 765. And on the other side of that, I guarantee you that is the actual reason he's struggling. Not because he misses Aaron Judge, not because he wants to be a Yankee, not because he's being booed in Yankee Stadium, not any of that. That guy is a competitor. What do competitors do when they struggle? They get mad. They get angry. Right. They get frustrated. They press. That's what happens. So maybe Juan Soto is just frustrated at the fact that he is not playing to the level that Juan Soto is capable of. Has Agreed. Anybody thought of that? Or is it just, no, he misses the Yankees.
Well,
no,
the one thing. The one
he
thing
likes hanging out with Aaron Judge. Come on. Stop.
And the one thing that set him up, and I'm going to say this, the one thing that set him up for failure was opening his mouth about that Judge quote.
He was asked the question, and he answered it honestly. And I stand by him on that. I genuinely
I know.
Do.
And I'm 100. I know, but you have to understand, this is not Kansas City. This isn't Tampa Bay. You say things like that here, that's gonna get dragged through the mud as long as it could, you know get dragged, and it's a shame because yes, he answered it honestly, he answered it with it from his heart, but sometimes you have to understand what you're saying. He could have worded it way differently, and that's where he needs to be taught on the next 15 years.
What is
the difference? How to address this media?
What is the difference? They're making up planes now.
I know.
They're making up planes now.
I know, but that's why you have to be careful with your words. Because they'll take your words and misconstrue it to what they want. So if you're not careful with your words in New York, you will get destroyed quickly. The New York media is like the mafia. You don't do what they want or do what they look like as if it's supposed to be right, they will bury you or try to bury you.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry.
Why do you think Aaron Judge is the most boring person that you could ever possibly watch on a post-game interview? Because he gives the most vanilla answers that I have ever seen since Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Derek Jeter was the most vanilla answering athlete I've ever seen in my life. Now, Derek Jeter even says if there was social media around in his time, he probably would have had a different career.
It's possible.
He honestly says that. He was going out every night. There was no phones. Nobody could track you. Nobody could, you know, copy a text message in front. It wasn't like that. This guy,
entirely possible.
He's under a fine-tooth comb. So is Judge. Why do you think Judge answers the way he does? Because he knows. Soto has to start seeing that and say, these guys are animals. They'll lie about my family. They'll say that I took a plane that I don't even have.
Isn't it crazy?
Like you just said, they're making up airplanes.
I mean, look, like I mentioned in A Few Good Men, Colonel Jessup made a plane disappear, and the New York media mafia is making planes appear. So I just don't understand how this is a thing, and all these false narrative, all these bogus stories, all these made-up reasons. How about the superstar is struggling and is probably frustrated with that. Maybe that's the problem. He doesn't
look human being.
He misses the Yankees. He wanted to be a Yankee, but his family said, no, you have to be a Met. What?
And to make another comparison, do you think that Aaron Judge wants to go through a whole season being the best player in the game and then doing a complete 180 in the playoffs? Absolutely not. He wants to have a full complete season of being clutch, having that clutch gene. You think Juan Soto is boarding the plane every night and saying, this is how I expected it to go? No, he's struggling right now. It's okay. He doesn't want this to happen. You think he's waking up and saying, this is how I want it to be right now? I'm content with this. He's not content, but because now every single step he takes is analyzed with a magnifying glass, he has no choice but to have to deal with this. And obviously it's going to affect his play. Thank God the Mets were playing well. Could you imagine if the Mets were in third?
Oh my God.
Could you imagine? We have to get guys like Sal Licata. Oh, throw this contract out. The Mets are in third. They should be ashamed. And then what happens in 2 weeks if the Mets go back up 3 or 4 games on Philly? They're the best team in baseball again?
Yeah.
Juan Soto's a legend. He's a god. These guys change like socks.
And the funny thing is, you know,
every day it's a different opinion.
That's all it's going to take. Soto's got to hit. He's got to win a game. Win a game, and you know all this goes away for now.
It's just unbelievable to me.
I don't know. Maybe the new rumor is that Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor have moved in together, and now, you know, they're trying to make their relationship better, so they're going to move in together and hang out more so they could be best of friends like him and Aaron Judge. Like, what are we talking about? I'm surprised, and you had sent it to me, and I'm going to put this out there. So you had sent me the when Aaron Judge and Soto met in the field and they hugged and all this other stuff. I'm genuinely surprised. I have not seen a screenshot of that hug. Pictures all over the place. He misses him so much. Look at how he hugged him. Like, I'm surprised, honestly.
It's honestly at this point, and unfortunately, as a Yankee fan, I have to see fellow Yankee fans acting absolutely ridiculous. I have to see Met fans acting absolutely ridiculous. Why does it have to be this way? You got a guy. Congratulations. We lost the guy. What is the big deal? I had told you this off air. Doesn't everybody remember when Andy Pettit left to go to Houston? We're talking about Andy Pettit, a Yankee legend here.
Yeah.
I don't care what he's done, the HGH, the steroid possibility. I don't give a shit.
All that off the table for now.
I don't care. The guy was a legend. And at the time, none of that was reported. We didn't know any of that. There was a lot of rumors that he had cheated on his wife and that his wife wanted him in Houston, that he had to leave the Yankees. But he still left the Yankees. I remember I was young. I was 16 when that happened. That was after the 04 season.
Where was the uproar?
I was destroyed.
Where was the uproar?
I said, I can't believe this happened. There was no uproar. You know what it was? It was like an assassination happened. It was like we were putting to bed a president. It was like a solemn day. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget that day. Hearing it on the radio. I remember Mike Francesa. I'll never forget this. Pettit spurns the Yankees and goes to Houston for 3 years at $33 million. I will never forget it. And why the cheating scandal to me could be a possibility in that regard. Not to dive into that too much, but the Yankees offered 3 years, $39 million. He took $6 million less. So all Yankee fans were like, why did he do that? Not once did they ever say, if this guy ever pitches in the Bronx again, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
He's not gonna make it out alive.
And that was homegrown talent. Right. Where was this when Cano left and went to Seattle and took the money?
Do you know what Yankee fans were doing when that happened, Mike? We were laughing at Cano. Good job. Go to Seattle. You're gonna win 70 games a year.
Yeah.
You're gonna be fourth in your division. You're not going to sniff the playoffs. Good luck and good riddance. And that's what real Yankee fans used to do. Again, that was a guy that
we got to boo this man. We got to turn our back.
That was a guy that won a ring here.
Yeah.
And left for money.
Homegrown.
Now, I don't know if the Yankees knew something and didn't resign him, but he still left us. He still left us.
Didn't they offer him a deal?
No, they did not.
They didn't offer him anything.
They offered him, it was a 9-year deal, 7 years for 186, and he told us to go kick rocks. The Yankees gave him that offer because they knew he was going to say no.
So they just wanted to
say it was like kind of like what Baltimore did to Mark Teixeira. They offered him 7 years, $135 million. They told Mark Teixeira on the phone, we know you're not going to accept the deal, but we're doing this for our fan base.
And the fan base despised Mark Teixeira for turning that down, that deal, because the details of that deal was never put out there. It was just
right.
And Teixeira says no.
And Teixeira ate all that crap every time he went to Baltimore when all those fans thought, oh, you did that to us? No. Your offer was never real because your owners didn't want me.
Right. And he just came out and said, and ate that for 10 or 15 years. The thing was why that was a big deal. Teixeira was a hometown kid going back home, you know, so they had to make it look good, you know, but honestly, this whole Soto thing, honestly, nobody looks good. Nobody looks good in this situation. Met fans don't look good. Yankee fans don't look good. The media does not look good. I mean.
And they're causing a civil war.
Yeah,
they are. I mean, the media is the reason that this is all coming to a head. What is going to happen when he starts playing well? Is that going to be talked about? And I have a question for Yankee fans. We're so wrapped up in this Juan Soto thing. The man played for us for a year. Yeah. He was traded here. Yes, did he want to come here? Yeah, I'm sure he did. Who doesn't want to come to the Yankees? Who doesn't want to play in New York? There is nothing like winning here. Mets, Yankees, Knicks, Rangers, Jets, Giants. It doesn't matter what New York faction or sport. If you could win here, there's a certain level of success. And then you top that success level when you win in New York. I'm convinced.
I agree.
You win in Kansas City, it's not as good as winning in New York. Okay? So let me ask Yankee fans a question. With the way this season has unraveled, we lost Gerrit Cole for a whole year. We lost Luis Hill. We're approaching 50 games, so that's already a third of the season. Let me tell you something, Yankee fans. The Yankees are MLB ranked. They're in third. Third place for a team that's injury decimated. Isn't that something that we shouldn't we be talking about that? Right, Mike? I think we should be, no?
No, because Juan Soto left. That's more important.
Listen to this stat. And this is, I bet you Yankee fans don't even know this. In the last 32 games, Yankee starters have accumulated 173 and two-thirds innings. In that span, they've generated a 2.67 ERA. In that time, we had Cookie Carrasco pitching. He made six starts. Cookie Carrasco.
Yeah. Who's, 38, 39 years old?
Cancer survivor.
Yeah, bad man. Got to meet him. Absolute gentleman. Got to meet
and
him.
And listen,
absolute.
Anybody who beats cancer, you're already a bad man. So I don't care who you are.
That's fair.
Now listen to this stat. Out of 32 of those starts, Mike, the Yankees have given up three runs or less in 27 of them. Why
doesn't
are we
matter,
not talking?
It doesn't matter, 22 left.
What are we talking about? Juan Soto left.
We embraced him. We showed you so much love. Yeah, because he performed. He performed. That's why you showed him love. He performed.
Belly's got a 14-game hitting streak. We were telling this guy to kick rocks 2 weeks ago.
Right. Doesn't matter. Juan Soto left.
Goldschmidt's hitting .343. He's 37.
Guess what? Doesn't matter. Juan Soto left.
Aaron Judge. Our own homegrown talent is hitting .405. Does right, anybody want to talk that about? Does any? No. But does anybody want to? No one's talking about it.
Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry. Wait. I'll spin it the way that I've seen and heard. Aaron Judge is the best player in baseball. How could Juan Soto not want to hit in front of him? Juan Soto left. This is what we're doing. This is where we're at.
We're approaching 50 games in the season.
We tried to give up this topic like 7 episodes ago.
I know. And we're becoming.
No, we're forced. Calling it out. I'm sorry, we're calling forced. It out.
Oh no, we have to. Because we're being forced to address it. Because both sides are ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not gonna bow down to that. And listen, I can understand clickbait, rage bait, it sells. There are a lot of people on a lot of platforms that have followings because they base their content on that specifically. If that's not a sellout, I don't know what is.
And people for some reason, they take the bait. I call them fish. They're not fans. They're fish.
I have been guilty of it. I have made videos in response to people. I have been guilty of it. But you know what? I don't know how to put it. But if you're going to rage bait, then I'm going to re-rage bait. And I'm going to call you out on all the crap that you're spewing that is incorrect and wrong. And the things that you're going to go for to try to get people to engage. And you know what? I'm falling for it to an extent. There are ways around it that you don't necessarily have to give the person that credit. There are ways around it. So we can do that. I'm genuinely, I am so sick and tired of this. I am so sick and tired of this. And is it frustrating that Soto is not doing what he normally does? Of course it is. I'm not flipping out about it. I'm clearly flipping out about the fact that all of these fake stories and all this nonsense keeps coming out, and all of these very well-respected guys. And I've even had the pleasure of meeting some of them in person. Most absolute gentlemen. And I don't want to do this because growing up, these were the faces and the voices and the where I got my information. And again, like I said, some of these people, the Buster Onlys of the world, and I'm not just singling him out, but all of these guys, Boomer, Gio, BT, Sal Licata, there are people out there that treat their word as gospel. Now, some are, you know, obviously less than others, but that's not fair to the fans reporting the game this way. Are we trying to make baseball the days of our lives, or are we trying to treat it as the sport that it is, national pastime? But instead, we've made this a terrible soap opera because these stories are just, we made up a plane.
I know. Yeah. He boarded it. Not only was it there, he boarded it with his family. Carl Ravitch, did you see that?
I saw one.
I mean, what are we getting into?
Juan Soto was wearing Yankee gear the week leading up to him signing with the Mets.
And you know what's so funny about that? Gary Sanchez was wearing Yankee shorts 3 days before he signed the contract with the Orioles. They practice in old gear all the time. They keep old gear. They don't give it back. I know Gary Sanchez is not even a third of the player that Juan Soto is. I'm just saying, I've seen it. I've seen it with other players.
Doesn't matter, Juan Soto left. That's all anybody can talk about.
Like, it's what are we getting into? Like, Yankee fans, we don't owe Juan Soto anything.
And he didn't owe you
anything. And guess what? He doesn't owe us anything. It was a year relationship. It was a one-year beautiful relationship. It was beautiful. He had the best season of his life. We made the World Series. Obviously, we didn't win. He wasn't the reason why we didn't win, but we didn't win. What is up, sir? If he was here 6 years, I'd say, have at it.
Then it would make a lot more
sense. He spurned us. We did everything we could. You know, blah, 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 this, and that. Left, right, up, center, down. He left us. You don't get mad at an ex for leaving you after a year. The closure is a lot easier to deal with.
Right.
Six years? Yeah, there's a lot of added memories. There's a lot of added relationship, you know, there.
Right.
What are we talking about? Talking about a year? That a guy that it's like he signed here, he's traded for. And let me tell everybody something. If Juan Soto signed with the St. Louis Cardinals, He could be at 100 right now with one homer and six RBIs. You know what they'd be talking about? Not Juan freaking Soto.
No.
Because he'd be stuck in the sticks in St. Louis.
Yeah.
If he signed with the Giants, you know what they'd be talking about? The Dodgers.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
Because he spurned the Yankees and went to the Mets, that's what happened. They're going to talk about what color socks this guy wears, what he eats for breakfast on Sundays, what's his favorite color. Oh, it's not orange and blue? Your favorite color is black? Oh, Carl Ravitch is going to report that he saw him wearing a black shirt in a coffee shop and he got a rainbow bagel.
Yeah.
He likes rainbow bagels. He's a weirdo. What do I care? What do I care if he boarded a plane? How about this? If that plane was real and it was in his contract, then what am I getting mad at? Yeah, it would be a little douchey for anybody, not just Soto. You have your own plane. Like, what are we talking about?
Right, you don't travel.
But if it was a stipulation in his contract, then it's in his contract.
I think there is something in his deal for the family. I think there was also something for the family to fly, if I'm not mistaken. I believe there's something in the contract about that.
I truly don't know, and I honestly don't think there is.
I could be wrong.
I think some
of this information is genuinely hard to find. It really is. Maybe it's just me, and I'm not looking in the right places. Could be me.
I personally only think that the suites were the only thing he got. And I think maybe there was a private security detail.
Yeah.
Potentially. That's the only thing I think he got.
But, you know, we're making up planes.
And does Steve Cole really want to foot the bill for a plane? They're saying it was a Met private plane. He foot the bill. How would that look?
No, it was not a Met plane. It had Aaron Judge's face on it and said 99 on the wings.
It was Aaron Judge Airlines.
Get the story right. If you're going to say it, Aaron Judge's face was on the side of that plane and on the wings was 99. I miss you. I love you. I want you back. Baby, come back. This is what we're doing. This is, oh my God. Like I said, some of these guys, their word is gospel. And this is what we're competing with. This is what we're competing with.
I'm sorry. I refuse. I'd rather never make a dollar. I'm not going to make myself
my integrity on how I view the game. I'm not going to make up crap that I don't believe in. I'm sorry. I can't do it. And you know what? You and I have been back and forth, and I'm not going to sit here and toot our own horns, but you know what? I'm going to, just a little bit. Like I said, you and I have been so critical on each other. Like, this is the stuff you guys don't know. You know, you don't understand what me and Joe go through behind the scenes, you know, behind recording. How many times we sit here like, is this a good topic? Should we bring this up? Should we do that? That might be a little dumb. Like, you don't understand what we're doing behind this. And I'm not saying that the rest of the guys with podcasts and shows and all of this aren't doing the same thing. I'm not saying that. I'm only speaking on us. And we put a lot into this. And that's why I got a little hostile with this a little before, saw a little red. I can't yell like Sal Licata because we haven't hit it big and we don't have our own studio. I'm in fear of waking up my son and potentially setting off my wife. So I don't have that luxury. So my level didn't go to where I wanted it to or where I could have gone.
But you made your point because it's ridiculous.
And you know, it's just so like, it bothers me because that you could do this. You have this platform. You made it. And now this is what you're making out of it. You know, and again, I'm not trying to say that they don't work hard. I'm sure they do. I'm not in those studios. I don't know. I can only speak on you and I. And the shows, I've done a show before this. Most of you guys don't maybe not know if some of you were around for it. You know, I hosted a radio show before, a live show. And I put everything I had into that thing. You should have seen everything I was doing to try to prepare for that. And I always wanted to keep my word and everything that I did as honest as possible. And even when you and I make a mistake where we gaff on something, or we might have said something just a little wrong. We have, like, I'll be honest with you guys. You should see our text threads. We have meltdowns because, like, dude, we said this one thing that it was like, it was really 17, but it was 16. You don't understand what me and him do to each other.
It's true. And then we have to see guys that, like BT, they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Making up planes, trains, and automobiles.
Maybe even millions. And he's saying the contract is a bad contract?
Yeah. bad contract.
We're not in year 10 of the contract. We're in year one. Actually, we're in month two. Month two of year one.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? Guys.
I just don't get it. I'll never understand it. Yankee fans need to get over it. We're in first place, guys. We're in first place without this guy. We're in first place. We're in first place without Garrett Cole. Did anybody ever think that? How about this? I was more nervous when Garrett Cole got surgery than I did Juan Soto.
Juan Soto left. That's all that matters. I'm just trolling at this point.
That's fine. I'm starting to see red a little bit because Yankee fans have to understand something. The season was crumbling before us. We lost Luis Hill. We were
very nervous going into this.
Won the rookie of the year. Garrett Cole goes down 3 days before him. Surgery, out for the year. See you later. Uh-oh. Our first baseman's 38 years old. He had a good second half. We're banking on that. The guy's been lights out. We have no third baseman. What the hell are we going to do? Oswaldo Cabrera, playing phenomenal. Puts his foot, it looked like a compass. Thing was going left, right, up, down. Poor guy.
Wide.
I thought it was a shoulder injury. Let's not even get into that, but it was a foot. He's out.
Yeah, that was bad.
Peraza has been playing phenomenal defense. Thank God. If only his back could wake up a little bit, we'd be fine. The fact that third base has been a revolving door. Devin Williams can't close a game for his life. Blowing four-run leads. The Yankees have a 5-game lead. Do you know how grateful we should be?
Juan Soto left.
What are we talking? We're witnessing one of the greatest right-handed hitters of our time since Albert Pujols.
Guess what?
Say it, Mike.
Juan Soto left.
Like, I'm not saying Judge is going to hit 700 homers, but this guy is on pace to do things that we haven't seen since Pujols.
Yeah.
And he's hitting 400.
You know what's also sad, too?
And we're talking Ted Williams-type stuff.
Yeah.
And I got to talk about Juan Soto?
And made up Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I don't hate Juan Soto. I have nothing against Juan Soto because it's not Juan Soto. You know what I saw Sunday night? I saw a little kid who sat in front of me. Actually didn't belong there. It was the end of the game. Kid walks right behind home plate, living his life. He caught a foul ball. Not in front of me, but he caught a foul ball. He's showing us the ball. Really cool, right?
Right.
I noticed his jersey was completely torn to shreds.
Oh, no.
In the back. So I didn't know. So I asked the kid, I said, what happened to your jersey, bud? Oh, it was a Soto jersey. I cut the whole thing off in the back.
Are we kidding?
I mean, the kid was like 9. He doesn't know any better, but he was there with his dad. No. He was there with his dad. I said, why did you pick this jersey then? You're wearing the jersey that's completely torn in the back. Your back is showing. Why didn't you just get another jersey?
You want to know why? Because he bought a jersey with a name on the back.
I can't even tell you if there was a name on the back. The whole thing was ripped to shreds.
If you didn't have the name on your back, we wouldn't know whose jersey it was. Now, would we?
I didn't know it was a Soto jersey. It just had an NY.
You get what I'm saying? Because he cut the back. Right. Because it probably had a name on the back.
I said, buddy, what happened to the back of the jersey? Oh, probably did. He was a 9-year-old kid. It probably was 100% fake.
Yeah.
I said, what happened to the... Oh, I cut Soto's name off. The name? You cut the whole back... It's a crop top. You cut the whole back of the jersey off. Looks like something my wife would wear.
You know what? Maybe we should send that kid to somebody.
You decided to wear this jersey to the game? What are we doing, guys?
I don't know.
Go buy a 99 jersey.
Juan Soto left.
Go buy a Garrett Cole jersey. Go buy somebody's jersey that actually likes being here and is playing for the team. What are we talking about Juan Soto for? He's a Met.
Can't do
let
it.
Let him be a Met.
It's taken over my life. Juan Soto left.
I just don't.
You guys don't know this. You're about to now. We had other stuff that we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
This completely took over.
Yeah, it did.
Completely took over.
But you know what? But sometimes you have to address things to get it out, just to get it out of the way.
I'll be honest with you. I feel a lot better. Coming into this, I was hot. I was hot because it's just non-stop disingenuous posts. And but
you know what has to happen now. He has to just play better.
Yeah,
of course. Everybody will shut up.
No. Nope. Not going to happen.
If he starts playing well, he'll shut people up. I'm telling you right now. The media will be like, oh, there's the Soto. Oh, my God, he's back.
Well, that's because
this is the guy we were waiting for.
That's because him and Aaron Judge, went and had dinner together. So Soto feels better. And that's why he eventually started to hit.
And look,
that's why
if the Mets get swept for whatever reason tomorrow,
they are. I had said this before this series started. Sorry, it wasn't on the pod, but I did.
They're not going to talk about it.
No,
they'll talk about how Soto didn't come and show up.
Yeah. And I get the whole hustle thing. To briefly get onto that. The pimp in the home run thing in Boston.
I'm not mad at that one.
I'm really not.
If I ground balls in
the Subway Series, that
yeah, that
DJ LeMahieu play.
Maybe. You gotta run that out.
Bust out of the line. Dude, like this is the thing. When you're struggling, and I'm not really trying to sit here and critique a major league baseball player, even though we kind of do it a decent amount of times. I mean, look, when at least in my opinion, when you're struggling, like, dude, you're going to do anything to get on and just, all right.
He stole the base.
Yeah, you know, and nobody's talking about that.
So he got the sack. He got the second base. I
mean, this guy has 3 stolen bases in the last, what, 5 games? 4-5 games.
Well, yeah, listen, when you get on, and because he's not getting on base, let's just call a spade a spade.
Not
when
like
you get on,
we're used to seeing, no.
You got to make things happen. So if he's going to steal bases, well, thank God. He's using his baseball IQ. How come nobody's talking about that? Hey, you know what? Soto walked 3 times against the Yankees today and stole a bag. It's good to see something like that, considering he hasn't gotten a hit.
Nope, one Soto left. That's all that matters.
What are we talking about? And then people look at me. I got to get ganged up on as a Yankee fan because they think I'm thinking what these Yankee fans think. I don't think like these people. I'm 37 years old. You know who these fans are? They're 20 years old. They're little kids that don't know any better. I watched a whole different brand of baseball growing up. I didn't watch this crap. We didn't boo ex players that played for us for a year. No matter how good you did.
Yeah.
Okay? It was never a thing. I just gave an example about how Andy Pettit left and went to a different team. Andy Pettit. Okay?
Listen, in my experiences, when guys have left the Mets, gone to other places, and we were mad, and we were upset, and we were annoyed, whatever it was.
You guys experienced it. Jose Reyes went to the Marlins.
Yeah. The thing was, though, we didn't offer him anything, and that was because of the Wilpons.
Well, so. Not for nothing. He didn't deserve $106 million. So
you can't say that.
You think he had a good Marlins career?
Oh no, he didn't. But that also goes to my.
So point. They got saved.
Wait, I think I might have said this on the pod. I know I've said it in videos that I've made in the past. I think Reyes ended up struggling in Miami because he just belonged here. As crazy as that sounds, he thrived here, and he was never the same when he left. He didn't have that jazz. He didn't have that Jose Reyes S to him. Yeah, he's still the first year. I think he did fine, and you know whatever. He was halfway decent. He was not. The Mets, Jose, that
no,
never happened again. Even my cats are crashing out that Juan Soto left. They just knock stuff over. If you guys heard that, so I mean, even they're upset. I mean, this is crazy. They don't even know
what
baseball.
What I'm saying is, he still left. It was a player going to another rivalry in division. So you have some experience with it.
It's crazy, isn't it? Guys, I'm going to do it. I'm sorry. Comment section of the podcast. This ridiculous topic and these ridiculous, bogus reports that are being put out there. First, I'd like to know, and this could be more a DM thing. I'm totally cool with it. How many of you guys actually fell for some of these reports? I'll admit it. You and I fell for the whole plane thing.
We both said,
like, let's kind of just, because it was like, all right, we're obviously going to have to talk about this eventually.
Right.
But let's just see where this goes, because we don't know anything yet. This was just put out there. And the source you mentioned, credible. So, you know, right. It was like, but this is why we don't pick up and run with things, or at least we try our best not to, you know? And it was kind of just like, all right, let's just see. And I said, if that's true, and if that's the case, that's kind of weird and not really a good look, but let's see where this goes and how this came about and everything like that. We both kind of agreed on that aspect. So we sort of fell for it. But again, we are doing what we're trying to do, and we're trying to do it as honest as possible. Took a step back and said, all right, let's just see what happens. Let's see where this goes. What is actually real? We didn't think it was fake. Maybe it was, I don't know. Who knows? We didn't really give an opinion on what we thought it might be, but in no way, shape, or form was like, nah, that's a made up plane, dude. Like, yeah. What?
Yeah, they made it up.
But,
and then you're like, these guys have been in the game for 20 plus years.
This is what we're doing.
And now, you made up a story.
This is what we're
doing. You literally made it up. It's made up.
But guys, how many of you guys have believed some of these ridiculous reports that have come out there?
I did. Austin Judge was a San Francisco Giant for 38 seconds. You know, I ever tell you that story?
You know what the best part is with Heyman? He can't live that down.
He gets very mad.
He flipped out on WFAN when they brought it up to him.
Quick story, when that happened, I posted to my Facebook, I said, I can't believe he left us to go home. And then I had to delete it about an hour later because they said, no, he didn't sign there.
You see what John Heyman made you do?
He made me go on my Facebook and spew a lot more lies.
Believe that?
Austin Judge signs with the... I said, first of all, that now he's a felon. That's first of all. He's committing arson. Secondly, now he's in San Francisco.
He burned down Yankee Stadium as he left.
Could you imagine what the state of the Yankees could be?
Dude.
They lose Juan Soto. Aaron Judge goes to San Francisco. Garrett Cole's arm explodes. Luis Hill's out for a third of the season.
DJ LeMahieu was playing first.
DJ LeMahieu's pitching. I don't even know what's... We could be in a whole different talk. This
Trent podcast Grisham, front runner for MVP.
This podcast might not even exist if Aaron Judge is in San Francisco. What are we talking about? There's nothing to talk about. Yeah, Trent Grisham's 960 OPS. Trent Grisham. He's hitting 270. The guy's a career 190 hitter. Did we see that coming?
No.
And how come we're not talking about that? Because we're too busy talking about that curly-headed SOB in Queens. That's why. That Jerry Curl mother effer. Yeah.
He left.
Stupid.
That's all that matters. He left. No, well, but really, guys.
You know what I told my brother before we had this the other day? I said, imagine Soto comes out and says he wants a trade.
Oh my God. That's next. That's next. That's next.
Guys, I made a mistake. I really did make a mistake. Aaron Judge has my heart. Pete, I'm very sorry. You're a very cute man, but I can't do this anymore.
Nah, he should. Honestly, if that's the case,
your throws to first base aggravate me. P.S. I love Aaron. See you later.
He's got to write a love song if he's going to request a trade.
No more Mike Yopta. Mike Yoptimism goes out the window. It's over. Trade all the prospects.
Everybody.
That's it.
Everybody. All in for Paul Skeens and I don't know. Guys, do you believe that we actually had to do this?
Usa.
Yeah, no, I like I said, I feel a lot better. I'm glad I got that out.
I know, because tomorrow Soto's gonna
There will be another story. This time he rented a bus.
For the Yankees. He took the Yankees to dinner on a bus.
Yeah. I don't know. This is ridiculous. All right. finally getting into it, getting into the last of it. I don't know how we're going to follow this. I'm going to be honest.
It's okay.
Guys, as usual, we have a trivia question. This one is completely Joe. Joe found this one. I liked it. It was good. I hope you guys like it. Joe, take it away.
So the reason why I picked this.
Who has 22 for the Mets? I'm totally kidding.
Right. Brett Beatty. No, just no, so obviously in recent news, Brendan Hyde, ex-manager for the Orioles, was fired and let go. That organization is a complete dumpster fire right now.
Yeah.
We thought that their offense was going to be the focal point of their team and the pitching was going to struggle, but it's actually been both. The pitching has been brutal and the offense can't score runs. So when I came across this question, I said, I think this is pretty fitting considering we were going to get into a little bit of an Orioles segment to say that they kind of take it over the Mariners. I thought that the Mariners were the team that needed to add a bat and, you know, solidify their roster, but the Orioles have been complete 180 dumpster fire. We're talking about division contenders to not even going to sniff a wild card. They have 15
maybe
wins.
Maybe they should have signed Juan Soto.
Let me tell you something. The White Sox are one win away from tying the Orioles for having the worst record in the AL.
That's fantastic.
That's how much of a turnaround it's been. So when I saw this question, I just thought it was very fitting. It's a tough one, I'm going to say, but hopefully somebody out there with a little bit of baseball knowledge could get this. So here's the question for this week. Who was the last Orioles player before Gunnar Henderson with four extra base hits in one game? Again, who was the last Orioles player before Gunnar Henderson to have a four extra base hit game in one game? That's this week's question.
I liked it. I initially got it wrong.
And then you got it right.
You gave me a hint.
Well, pretty good. There's been a lot, so.
There's been a few, yeah. And it was funny because when I got the hint, I was like, oh, I remember that now. Mm-hmm. I do remember when that happened because this
and it was
guy
actually, a and it was the back. It was at the back end of his career too when mm-hmm. he did it. So
yeah.
So that's the question.
What yeah. could have been?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. But that's the question for this week. Next week's question will be: what is Juan Soto eating for lunch?
Alphabet cereal, and he spelt out Aaron Judge. In his cereal.
I love that.
That's what he did.
I miss Adam Boone.
When he has a grilled cheese and he puts bacon on it, he puts the bacon in the shape of an A. Buster only reported that about 5 minutes ago. Just so you guys know. this is what we've come to.
And listen, we have to make fun of these guys now because they're only doing it to themselves, bro.
Bro, I feel like
they're only setting themselves up. They, you know, it's like tennis. They hit us the ball. The only thing we can do is hit it back.
You know what? This is how 50 Cent got famous.
Yeah.
He started going after all the rappers that were above him.
That's what we got to do.
So.
Stitch, Flitch, Twitch, Nixon 6. That's all I can tell you. I don't know what to say.
All right? I love it. Guys, I want to thank you for putting up with that. My little... I don't know, tear down of what media has become in the sports world. As always, like I say all the time, we see the views, we see the comments, we see the likes, we see the shares, even the phone calls and the text. We love it all. We appreciate you all. And like always, guys, thanks for hanging out.